A good looking little group out here today. It's good to see y'all this morning, and I see some new faces. It's so good to see you. So glad y'all are here. And let me add my quick word of welcome. Over these last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been making a beeline from Green Street to Park Place, from Park Place back to Green Street. And someone was asking me coming in, said, "Why you got a driver?" I said, "Well, so I don't get caught in traffic, and if he's going over the speed limit, he's the one that gets busted, not me for it." But no, I'm so thankful for Steve McDaniel, and it's good to be with you folks again this morning. I've got a very special guest who's actually going to be speaking to you, and you're very privileged to be able to hear from him today. I've got a few guests I want to recognize. Over here, Craig and Renee Miner, precious folks out of our church fellowship there at Green Street who have served overseas to the IMB for many years. Our church was able to commission them and send them out some years back, and I've had opportunity to travel internationally with Craig, and he took me around Thailand and Vietnam some years back, but I'm so glad that they're joining us for worship this morning, and it's always good to see Daryl and Rita here. I'm so thankful for y'all being here and encouraging the folks at Park Place. You know, our kids club, this past Tuesday afternoon, we had, I think they told me that we had 24, 25 children who were here from the neighborhood for the kids club. And so we're so thankful. And keep praying and working. Our teams of volunteers who are coming over from Green Street are just so thrilled. Renee Christensen is sort of the head of that project that Miss Kendra Joyner, our children's director, had recruited. And Renee, she has just jumped in with both feet head first. I mean, she is involved. And so she's doing some Zoom discipleship with a couple of those older teenage girls that we were able to connect with in the community. And so we're so thankful. And just pray that the Lord will continue to be at work. And we long to see a healthy, vibrant, gospel-centered church right here in the heart of this community for the glory of God. Isn't that right? And that's what we're praying for. And we're working toward that. And we've made some very important steps over these last couple of months. And so I'm so thankful for your willingness to do what it takes. And so be praying that the Lord give vision and direction. And we're excited to see what the future holds. But with me this morning, who is preaching in all of our services, he didn't realize he was signing up for a marathon race of speaking engagements today when he came. But Dr. Paul Chitwood, he's the president of the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And 47,000 churches make up the SBC, and Park Place is one of those. Green Street is one of those. And we partner together for mission advancement. In the International Mission Board, there are 3,500 missionaries who are commissioned and serving the Lord all around the world that we have the privilege of being able to support and to pray for. And Dr. Chitwood, his leadership at the IMB, he's been the president since 2018. Prior to that, for 7 years, he was the executive director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And he's pastored churches all over Kentucky for many years prior to that. And so we're just so thrilled to have him as our special guest. And so he's going to come and he's going to share with you and tell you a little bit about what's going on at the IMB and challenge us. So would you make welcome Dr. Paul Chitwood this morning?
Well, thank you for that warm welcome, and thank you, Pastor Brandon, for the opportunity to be with you at Green Street and at Park Place today. I feel very blessed to have that privilege. It's good to be with you in this time of worship, and great to be able to give you a little bit of an update on the IMB and also to preach from God's Word to you today. But let me just say I'm excited to hear, as Pastor Brandon is telling me about what's been taking place here at Park Place and the impact in the community with the kids club, but also the plans that are coming together, hopefully to do just that, to see a strong and vibrant church here launched in this community. I grew up in a community very much like this, and lived in some Project 6 and 8 housing for the first several years of my life, and we ended up in a little rental house. I felt like I was home when we were driving from Green Street over to here. It reminds me very much of my hometown in Jellicoe, Tennessee, or Kentucky. The little town of about 2,000 literally sits on the state line. Half of it's in Tennessee, half of it's in Kentucky. But Thankful to be in any of our churches across the Southern Baptist Convention today, and to have the privilege to be with you here in this one is especially meaningful to me, particularly thinking about the plans that you're making and what you hope to do in this community. You know, one of the things that I encourage Southern Baptists to do is to pray for one another and our churches, to pray for other churches. We have a lot of really big churches across the Southern Baptist Convention. We have a lot of really small churches, and it's good to have them praying for one another, and especially since you all are kind of at a time of rebuilding here at Park Place. I'd love to be able to ask for the prayers of Southern Baptists for you. One of the ways I might do that, if you'd pose for me, I may take a picture of us this morning. Kind of get a selfie here with the congregation. If you can't be on photo for some reason, duck your head real quick, and I'm on. You'll probably be blurred in the background anyway. But let me see. There we go. There we go. As someone said, I'm going to make you famous, but you don't be much famous if you're going to run around with me, so I won't make you much famous. But we are grateful to be in partnership with you. There's 3,550 overseas missionaries who serve through their International Mission Board. They have 2,850 children with them. Many of our missionaries go out as families. And they're all over the world, literally. We work in more than 120 countries of the world. And when you pray for the missionaries, you pray for those 3,500-plus missionaries and their 2,800-plus kids. When you give here at Park Place, part of that money through the cooperative program supports your missionaries who are serving all around the world. If you take up a Light Moon Christmas offering, or if you can give online, if a church isn't taking one up, all of that money goes to support the mission work around the world, and God is doing great things with it. But it's all working together, just like Green Street and Park Place are working together. All of us working together. God is doing some great things. We saw more than 500,000 people hear the gospel last year overseas through the work of your missionaries. We have them reporting in every year about their ministry and the impact of their ministry. And through those missionaries and their Baptist partners on the ground overseas, 500,000 people heard the gospel. There was 176,000 that professed faith in Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel. 107,000 of them followed through with believers' baptism, so that was great to see. And we were able to see more than 22,000 new churches started all around the world last year. And so it's exciting to see how God is using what we're doing together. Big churches, small churches, everybody working together makes possible the gospel getting to the very ends of the earth. And that's a real big deal, which brings me to a question that I want to pose for you this morning. I actually have two questions for you. First question is this. Why are you here? Why are you here? You had other things you could have done this morning, but you chose to be in church. Why are you here? Why is Park Place still here? Could have closed the doors. Could have walked away. Why is the church still here? Why are you here? Another question. Do you believe heaven will be better than earth? I believe heaven will be better than earth. I'm firmly convinced of that. Did you know there's no cancer in heaven? There's no COVID in heaven. Did you know there are no presidential election years in heaven? Isn't that good news? Amen. Did you know there's no depression in heaven? There's no addiction in heaven. There's never been a single overdose death in heaven. There's no divorce in heaven. Heaven's better than earth. There's no death in heaven. I believe heaven is better. Which brings me back to that first question. Why are we here? Lord, if heaven's everything you've said it'll be, knowing all we struggle with here on earth, why don't you just save us and take us to heaven? Why has God left us here? Well, to answer that question this morning, I want to turn our attention to a passage of Scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I'm not going to leave you in suspense till the end of my sermon to give you an answer to the question. However, I want to go ahead and answer it now. Let me tell you why I think, if you're a follower of Jesus, let me tell you why I think you're here, why we're still here, why God doesn't save us and take us to heaven. God has left us here with an opportunity to be a part of making heaven what heaven will someday be. God has left us here with a chance to be a part of making heaven what heaven will someday be. And we find a picture of heaven, what heaven will someday be like. We find it here in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. John is the author of these words, although it is God's word to us. If you're familiar with the book of Revelation, then you might recall that the author, John, was a follower of Jesus. He was one who preached the gospel of Jesus. He was persecuted for preaching the gospel. In fact, he was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. And it was in his prison cell that God began to reveal things to John through visions. And we find those visions recorded here in the book of Revelation. At one point in the vision, God helping John understand what the Lord was doing in the world in John's day, I believe some of what we read of in the book of Revelation applies to our day. It's what God is doing in the world in our day. But some of the things have yet to come to pass. John was able to see in the future and see things that had not yet happened in his day nor in our day, but will happen. And that's really the category of Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. This John gets to look into heaven. And as he does, he sees heaven, not as it was in his day, nor as it is in our day, but heaven as heaven will someday be. And this is what he says he saw. After this I looked, Revelation 7, verse 9, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Isn't that incredible? To get to look into heaven, to get to see what's happening, to see God the Father, God the Son, see this great multitude of people who've gathered around praising God as He deserves to be praised. Oh, it's incredible. And you and I, through John's words, through God's word to us, get to look into heaven today. And as we do, I think we find the answer of why we're still here. Better understand that. Let's ask some questions this morning of this vision. The first question I want us to ask of the vision is who? Who does John see when he looks into heaven? He says, "I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages." When we pause very long from the busyness of life and think about heaven, there are usually some questions come to mind, aren't there? I mean, when you think about heaven, don't you have questions? What would it feel like to be in heaven? What will we be doing in heaven? Who will be with us in heaven? Who will be there? Well, John answers that question. He says, "I looked and behold a great multitude." There's going to be a lot of people there. And he says, they're from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages. That tells us heaven is inclusive. Now, heaven's not inclusive in the sense that everyone's included. There are a lot of people not going to go to heaven. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says in order to go to heaven, you have to believe the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins. You have to put your trust in Him, that that death was for you, that He paid for your sin upon the cross, and that He was raised from the dead. We call that faith. You have to have faith in Jesus. The Bible says to go to heaven, you have to repent of your sin. That means that you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus as your Savior and you follow after Him. The Bible says to go to heaven, you have to confess Jesus as Lord. The word Lord's not just a title. It means the master, the ruler, the one who's in charge, the one who's calling the shots. And if you follow Jesus, if you confess Jesus with Lord as Lord and follow Jesus as your Lord, that means you're putting Him in charge.
You're following him as the Lord of your life. The Bible says when you've done that, when you put your faith in him, when you've repented, and when you've confessed him as Lord and begun to follow him, that you're born again at that moment, that your sins are forgiven, you're adopted into God's family, and heaven is your home. And it might be that as you sit there today, you realize that that simple message, the gospel message, Jesus died for your sin, that you believe that, you've trusted him, you've acknowledged him as the Lord of your life, and you know heaven's your home. Bless God. But there are many who have not believed that message. They've heard that message, but they refuse to believe it's true. They won't be in heaven. There are some who have heard the message and they believe that it's true, but they are unwilling to repent of their sin. They're unwilling to follow Jesus as Lord. They may believe the facts of the gospel, but it's had no impact upon their life. They refuse to confess Jesus as Lord. They won't be in heaven. And then there's another group of people. Millions in this group, even billions. They've never even heard the gospel. They don't know anything about Jesus. Nobody's ever told them anything about Jesus. There's almost 12,000 people groups in the world. 3,000 of them remain unengaged with the gospel. What does it mean to be unengaged with the gospel? Well, in the simplest of terms, it means that if you were a part of that people group, you lived among those people, there's nowhere you could have gone to church this morning to hear the gospel preached because there's no church among your people. It'd be very unlikely that you would walk through your community today, through your city, through your town, through your village, and you'd run into missionaries like the miners who are there to share the gospel with you because the missionaries haven't made it to those peoples yet. That's why the International Mission Board exists. We exist to get the gospel to those who have yet to hear the gospel. That's why what we do together matters so much, because heaven and hell hang in the balance. So heaven's not inclusive in the sense that everyone's going to be there, but it is inclusive in the sense that someone's going to be there. Someone's going to be included. Did you notice these two adjectives that John uses? He describes that great multitude. He says they're there, a great multitude no one could number, from every nation. No nation's left out. Every nation. And from all the tribes and peoples and languages. Those two adjectives, every and all, remind us that our work, the work of the church, is not yet done on earth. Because every nation is not yet represented in heaven. All the tribes and peoples and languages are not yet represented before the throne in heaven. And that's why you're still here. That's why Park Place is still here. That's why followers of Jesus, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, remains on earth. Our mission is not yet fulfilled. We're still here until the who are there. And we still have work to do. But another question this morning. The question is where? We're talking about heaven, right? John's looking into heaven. But notice John's very specific as he describes where this great multitude has gathered. He says they were from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages. And then he says this, they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. There they are in heaven. There they are standing in the very presence of God. What an incredible thing. I mean, what will that feel like? What will that be like to stand there before God the Father, God the Son, the one who loved you enough to die for you, and to have the privilege of thanking him and worshiping him? Jesus spoke of heaven as my Father's house. You might remember John 14. Jesus is gathered with his disciples for a celebration of the Passover meal. It was a traditional meal. And Jewish life, you read about it a lot in the Old Testament, is where people were remembering, they were celebrating a great thing that God had done when he had led the children of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt and taking them to the promised land. Passover feast, the meal, was something they observed every year to remember what God had done. Jesus was having that meal with his disciples. He'd taken them to the city of Jerusalem. They're worried about that because they know there's people in the city of Jerusalem who want to kill Jesus. So they're thinking, well, did we have to do this here? Could we have done this somewhere else? But noting their worry, Jesus spoke to them. His words recorded in John 14. He says, don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And then he said this. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I'll come back. And I'll take you to be with me where I am. Jesus, noting their worry and their concern with all the troubles that were a part of their lives, the fears that they had at that moment, what did he do? He turned their attention to heaven. He said, remember my Father's house. There's a place for you there for all eternity. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to take you to be with me there. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
But you know, there's still a lot of people. They don't know anything about heaven or how to get there. And that's why we're still here. The IMB is still sending missionaries to tell them. We're doing that together. God's put the nations on your heart. I want you to know that He has a plan for you, and it might be that you could serve through the IMB. We're sending students out for a semester or a summer, a gap year. We send young people. I have some people out from Green Street Baptist who are in what we call a two-year program, the Journeyman Program, fully funded. They go and serve on our IMB teams overseas. We're still sending career missionaries. We're sending a lot of retirees these days. It doesn't really matter what you've done in life. We can use it somewhere in the world. Maybe you've been an educator, school teacher. Maybe you have been a doctor or a nurse, a police officer, a lawyer, a farmer. It doesn't matter what you've been doing. We can use it somewhere around the world as an opportunity to connect with people and share the good news of the gospel with those who have yet to hear. Until the who are there, we've got work to do here. Which brings me to the last question. That question is this: so what? So what? Now, it's not the so what my 16-year-old daughter asked, because that's not a question. That's her way of saying, it's got nothing to do with me. Leave me alone. So what, she'll say. It's not the so what I'm talking about. Here's the so what I'm asking today. And I'm challenging you to ask. So what, Lord, does this have to do with me? Lord, you've let me look into heaven. What do you want me to do now? Let me see if I can answer that question in a personal illustration. It was many years ago. A couple of men met in a parking lot at a Baptist church on weekday evening because it was church visitation night. I understand you all been making visits in the community, knocking on doors, inviting people to church. That's what they did. A little town in the mountains, they set out walking through the neighborhoods of the little town, knocking on doors, inviting people to church. At some point that evening, they climbed a really steep hill and they made their way up to the next to last house on the street. It was a rental property at 210 Province Street. They knocked on the door. This young man in his mid-20s came to the door. I don't know if they knew about his situation. It was a small town. You know how small towns go. They may have known all about his situation. May not have known anything. I just don't know. Had they known about his situation, they'd known that he was about 2 years past a divorce and that he was a father of three boys and he was raising them by himself. At the time, they would have been ages 6, 4, and 3. I don't know if they knew any of that. There's no way they could have known that the 4-year-old somewhere in the house would someday be the president of the International Mission Board. But they knew enough to know that people not in church need to be in church, and broken families need the Lord, and the greatest need in everybody's life is to hear and believe the gospel. And so when my father came to the door, they invited him to church. Thankfully, he accepted their invitation. We found a church family there that welcomed us in, and loved us, shared the gospel with us. A few years later, there was another knock at our door one evening, and Dad opened the door, and our pastor was standing there, Brother Allen. He was expected. Dad had invited him to come. My older brother had been asking questions about the gospel, what it would mean for him to give his life to Jesus. Dad invited our pastor to come, and he came. And he sat in our living room to share with my older brother the gospel. My younger brother and I, we sat on the floor and listened in to what Brother Allen had to say. Brother Allen got 3-for-1 that night as the three of us put our trust in Jesus. And we're baptized together a few weeks later in that little church. Oh, how thankful I am for a couple of men out knocking on doors in the community. knocked on our door and invited us to church. How thankful I am for a pastor who came and sat in our living room and shared the gospel with us. How thankful I am for a church that did not close the doors. It knew the importance of it being there. And it was about its job. I'm glad to be in a church like that today. I know this church has experienced some difficult days. But you've not quit. You've entered into this partnership with Green Street. And I just have to believe that God's going to use that. That there's going to be people in this community. You know, you wouldn't have to go far, I don't think, out of this parking lot to find a broken family. Lost man or woman or boy or girl whose greatest need is the gospel. Go across this city, across this state. Who knows how many you could find. Across the country, there's millions. Get on a plane. Go out with our missionaries somewhere overseas. We'll put you among billions who have never even heard the name of Jesus. That's why we're still here. Heaven's going to be great. But the Lord has left us here. And He's left us here with an opportunity to be a part of making heaven. Wouldn't it be incredible to stand there in that great crowd, that great multitude, and to look around and see someone who's there because God used you? Someone who is there because you prayed for them when you knew they were lost. Someone who is there because you prayed for the lost among the nations you gave to support the mission work. Someone who is there and that God lets you have a part in seeing them there. Don't forget why you're here. If you're here today and you've yet to put your trust in Jesus and you don't know that you'll be in heaven, oh, I'd encourage you at the end of the service, find some of the members here, find some of the leaders here, talk to them. They'd love to share with you about how to know that you're saved. If God's calling you to the nations, I'd love to talk with you. Don't forget why you're here. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us see heaven. Lord, use this in our lives. We might live out the reason we're here. In Jesus' name, amen.